Jesus, the God, invites us here to his triumphal feast.
Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
What am I saying? To redeem means to fight for joy. That's a funny phrase, isn't it? I'm wanting you to fight against the things out there. I'm wanting you to be so focused that you're fighting to not be a blockhead.
In this edition of Triumphal Feast, we conclude the message, Redeeming the Time. In part one, we learned that we are to walk in love and walk in the light. Today we begin in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, continuing with the principle of walking in the light. The message concludes with instruction on how we walk in love and in light, and that is to walk in the wisdom and understanding of the will of God.
Verse 10, he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, he's not saying you need to prove that you're savable. You don't need to prove to the Lord that you're elect. You know why? Because he elected you. He knows you're elect. You don't need to prove to the Lord that you can be saved. You know why? Because he saved you. But you do what you do need to prove? You need to prove to yourself that you're the elect of God. You need to prove to yourself that you're saved. And we do it just like Paul says over in that Romans verse that we memorized, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Remember I said fill in the gaps, G-A-P? Good, acceptable, perfect. How do you prove those things? By doing them. You do the good will of God and you feel the goodness of God. You do what's acceptable unto God, and you feel accepted by God. You do the perfect will of God, and brethren, you're going to feel justified. You're going to feel like you're complete in Him. That's what Paul is telling us right here. You are the children of light. Why in the world do you want to walk in darkness? Walk like who you are. Jesus says there's some responsibility that goes along with that. Sermon on the Mount, do you recall what he says? Neither do men light a candle and hide it under a bushel. Okay, a bushel is a measurement, right? What he is saying is, why in the world would somebody light a candle and put a bowl on top of it? You know what that does? He doesn't talk about putting the light out. He talks about putting a bowl there, and you can benefit from that light right there. But nobody else can. He's talking about selfish Christianity. He's talking about, wow, you've gotten a precious gift and you're hoarding it and letting no one else enjoy it. Archaeologists have excavated homes in that area and found that many of them, well, you know, they're not multiple room homes like you and I have. It's a single room. And one of the walls in each of those houses, they found a hollowed out place with a flat spot in it. And in that hollowed out place, they have buffed or shined this hollowed out area. The purpose of that was that you put your candle on a stand, you set it in that place, and it reflects the light back to the whole house. That's what Jesus was talking about. That's going back to being like Christ. That's going back to walking in love. Brethren, to walk in the light, you're going to be walking in love. And if you're walking in love, you're going to be walking in the light. The two go hand in hand. But notice what I'm saying there. Because so many times, people think they focus on personal Christianity. Christ didn't do that. That's actually what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees worked on their personal holiness to prove that they were more holy than somebody else. Christ told them, look outside yourselves. Your righteousness has got to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. True righteousness is walking like Christ, which he did everything else for the benefit of somebody else. Everything he did was for someone else. You know how I know that? Because he was the King of glory. He had it all. And he laid aside his crown for your soul. He walked away from that to die for you. He walked away from that to wash the feet of a man named Judas who betrayed him. He walked away from that to be mocked by those that themselves were liars. He walked away from that for you. That's walking in righteousness. Verses 12 and 13 says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's the tabloids. Okay? Enjoying other people's sins. That's Jerry Springer. That's all of these foolish so-called reality shows that promote a lifestyle of sin. And they don't show you the whole picture. They say it's reality. It's not reality, it's scripted, folks. Say, well, there's bad things that happen, but you don't see all of the consequences. You just see the drama of it, and people enjoy the drama of it. Paul says, not only don't do these things, but don't be concerned with other people that are doing them. Don't vicariously sin through their lives. That's what the tabloids are. You're not committing the sin. Somebody else is doing it, and you're enjoying it. That's a sin. Avoid those things. Walk in the light. So, Brother Bryce, how do I know whether I'm walking in the light or if I'm walking in the darkness? Well, would you do it in front of me? Let's go a much higher moral figure than I am. Everything we do in the presence of the Lord. He is everywhere present and nowhere absent. If we feel we have to hide an activity from other folks, then folks, that's an act of darkness. Now, I'm not talking about if you're going to surprise somebody with a gift, hint, hint, hint. No. I'm talking about if you are doing something that you're ashamed of, that shame is telling you that it's a sin. Shame is a product of sin. But if you're walking in righteousness, then you don't have any problem. Somebody comes up to you, what are you doing? Well, I'll tell you. You've got nothing to hide. You're walking in joy. And so he says, you know, he's told us to walk in love. Then he's told us to walk in light. So he quotes and says these words, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He's not telling you to go get born again. He's already said that you are the children of light. He's saying, wake up and realize who you are. When you went to sleep, you were a child of God. He's saying, wake up, child of God, and live your eternal life. Lay hold on it right now. He says, like you're sleeping through life. Redeem that time. Brethren, when we get so busy doing things, Paul says we're actually sleeping through life. We're missing the good parts. You know, we get so focused on the idea that one of these days the Lord is going to redeem us from all our trials and troubles and sorrows and forget that there's still blessings now. And the devil knows that he can't rob us of our eternity. But he can mess with our minds to the point now that he can rob us of the blessings of life right now. Redeem that time. Focus on others. Focus on righteousness. And then here's our verses. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We're going to focus mainly on verse 16, but I want to put 15 and 17 together and notice what it says. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do you know what the will of the Lord is? The Bible. If you're not reading the Bible and you're not going to church and you're not fellowshipping with other people trying to do the same thing, brethren, you're not going to understand what the will of the Lord is. He said, well, I know a few verses. Well, how about this? I can take a few verses and prove to you that the Lord loves fat, lazy people. For the fat of the earth is the joy of the Lord, and bodily exercise profiteth little. Taking both of them out of context and prove that a fat, lazy guy pleases the Lord. No, it doesn't. You can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say, but that's not what it says. We have to study the Bible. We have to study to show that we're approved unto God. We need to be in church learning. And a big thing is we need to be in fellowship with the children of God. He even says that in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. He's saying one of the most important things that you have and your instruction in righteousness is what you sing to one another. If we're not doing that, we're missing it. We're not being instructed. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That has an idea of being careful, okay? Meaning focusing on what you are doing. The best example I can give you of that, all my children have done this, but Asa is the most recent one to do it. You do not give my son Coca-Cola for dinner. Because long about 8 o'clock, you get what I call cokehead. Running around, making weird noises, doing weird things, no focus whatsoever, just for the sheer feeling of what's happening. That is not walking circumspectly. That is living for the moment. That is seizing the day. Paul's telling us to seize the day in a different way. He's not telling us to just have fun for fun's sake, not thinking about the consequences. What's the consequences of the cokehead two-year-old? He doesn't sleep. You know what he's like the next day? Can you tell us, Sister Jacqueline? Even without giving them coke, when they don't sleep, it's not a fun thing for anybody, including them. Let's learn like the children. Paul is saying, focus on how you're going to live your life. You were created for a purpose. Live your life on purpose. Think about the steps that you're going to take. Think about the things that you're going to read. Think about the things that you're going to do with your family. Think about the things that you're going to say. Are they for the benefit of somebody else? Are they to the glory of God? If they're not, then that means they're one of those things in verses 3 through 5. And I should not have done it. I can focus my time and my efforts better someplace else. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Jesus' close to the Sermon on the Mount. What does he say about the wise and the fool? The wise man built his house upon a rock. That means he heard the word of God and then what? He did the word of God. Then there's somebody else that heard the word of God and didn't do it. It's a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And what did we say the Greek word was there? Blockhead. Don't be a blockhead. Don't be somebody that hears what they're supposed to do and doesn't walk in love. Don't be somebody that hears what they're supposed to do and then don't walk in righteousness. What's happening right here is Paul is teaching us how to walk in wisdom. He's teaching us how to do the other two. The way that you walk in love and the way that you walk in righteousness is that you focus on the Word of God to learn what love is and what righteousness is by God's definitions. He says, be not unwise. And the way that you do that is to understand what the will of the Lord is. And let me tell you this. He's talking about much, much more than book knowledge. He's talking about much, much more than just having a knowledge in your head of what the will of God is. Understanding means that you have lived it. You have proved to yourself by experience what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You've lived it. Therefore, you understand it. Let me give you an example. I understand what it is like to live 43 years. None of my children understand what it is like to live 43 years. Why? They haven't lived it. Some of you understand what it is like to have lived 43 years. The look on some of your faces, yeah, unfortunately. But the key is this. Understanding is living the principle in experience. Experiencing the righteousness of God. Experiencing the love of God. That's what wisdom and understanding is. You know, you can read a lot of books on how to fish. But until you've tried it, you don't know what it is to fish. You can say, well, this is how it's supposed to be done. But until you've actually put it in practice and tried to cast a lure, you have no understanding whatsoever what it's to be like. So Paul says, have understanding. And then our central verse, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeem means to buy up or to buy back. Redeem means to gain back that which was lost. Brethren, we cannot go back to even this morning and fix the mistake that we made. Paul is not telling us to dwell on mistakes of the past. He is telling us to redeem the time that is at hand and the time that is to come. We can redeem that lost time by the quality that we live right now. Quantity, you're not going to get it back. But quality, you certainly can. To redeem the time because the days are evil, everything outside of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about this building, I'm talking about everything outside of the worship of the Lord is going to try to distract you, the songsters in the arbor. And if you give in, then you've lost that time of true joy. You've lost that experience of what it's going to be like in heaven for all eternity. Did you hear what I just said? You can experience eternity. Now, that same joyful feeling when you put the Lord first and you put others before yourself, that joy that nobody can take away from you, that's how you're going to feel forever. And as the Bible says, and ever. Don't let the world rob you of those things. As a matter of fact, do exactly the opposite of it. Put your fingers in your ear and get faster. Get more focused on others. Get more focused on righteousness. Get more focused on the Word of God and walking wisely with understanding, redeeming the time. That word redeem also, it's not like going down to a pawn shop and saying, I have the claim. It is like going to a pawn shop. You're going back and getting what you own. Okay, but typically that pawn shop is going to say, okay, here's your thing. Where's the money for it? And they're going to give you your thing back. When the Lord redeemed you, he didn't go to a pawnbroker. He went to death and hell and the grave and the devil. And none of those four wanted to give you up. He paid the price, but he fought for you. Okay? They had a grip on you and didn't want to let go. And the world and the devil are still trying to do the same thing to you. What am I saying? To redeem means to fight for joy. That's a funny phrase, isn't it? I'm wanting you to fight against the things out there. I'm wanting you to be so focused that you're fighting to not be a blockhead. That you're fighting for godly fellowship. These are interesting phrases, aren't they? There are going to be things that look very tempting and that are great traditions, and they're basically nothing really wrong with them. But brethren, if it takes you away from the fellowship of the Lord's people, it's stealing your joy. It's stealing your time. Many of you knew my grandfather. He talked very quickly, didn't he? And if you asked him why, he would say, because I don't have enough time to say all that needs to be said. We need to have that in our mind. Not to have a sense of rushing through life, because we've got the wrong sense of that. Hurry up and wait. What we need to realize is that the world's trying to take away the joy that I get now. And I'm going to fight against that. I'm going to redeem that time. I'm going to give the sacrifice of myself and take that back from the world. Take that back from sin. And not allow the devil to rob me. Now notice what I'm fixing to say, because I'm still an old Baptist preacher when I say it. I'm not going to allow the devil to rob me of my joy. It's mine. That's the way you need to be. God gave it to you. It's yours. Get personal with that. Okay? Get stingy with that joy. Not stingy with blessing others. Not stingy with your eternal life. Brethren, get stingy with your joy. Because remember what joy is. Jesus, others, yourself. And redeem that time. Read the Bible more. Go to church more. The Bible is the best book ever written. It's actually 66 books. They have proven that reading improves your brain from the youngest person to the oldest person. Why not read the best book that there is to improve your brain? Go to church more. We have two services here a week. But you know what? If you do a search on the internet, there are enough old Baptist sermons. I'm not even talking about other pretty good sermons out there. I'm telling you, there's enough primitive Baptist sermons recorded and placed on the internet to take me to the grave. I could listen 24 hours a day and never get them all heard. Go to church on podcasts. Some of you did it during the ice storm. But in particular, remember what Paul began with in walking in love. Redeem the time of fellowship with the Lord's people. When the lawyer tempted Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment? Do you recall his answer? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. And then he said, and the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. on all on these two hang all the law and prophets. He said you could sum up the entire Bible on that right there. Love the Lord. Love others. Love Jesus. Love others. J-O-Y. To redeem the time is to redeem back or to buy back or to take back that which the Lord has given you. He caused you to be born again so that you could glorify Him and begin enjoying His presence now. David in the Psalms records, there's no praise of thee in the grave. David didn't believe that he was going to go into the grave and his spirit wasn't going to go to heaven. What he was saying is, Lord, here on earth, I can't praise you when I'm dead. David wanted to redeem some more time. He wanted to live longer. He wanted to enjoy the Lord more. The Apostle Paul closes out the rest of the chapter with something marvelously easy to understand. I don't think I need to explain it. Paul gets practical. He says, walk in love. Then he says, walk as children of light. Then he says, walk in wisdom. And here's some examples of how you ought to do it. And he pretty much covers all the bases of practical godliness. He says the reason that you ought to do this is because you are the children of light. And it is your duty, but it is also your joy to walk as children of light. How many of you parents have a spirit of happiness that comes over you when you see your kids do something right? When you've instructed them on something time after time after time and you just think they're never going to get it and then all of a sudden, wow, they're doing it. How do you think your Heavenly Father feels then when He's instructed you time after time after time and you're finally doing it? You're finally falling in line and playing following the leader. Isn't that all He's asked us to do? Is to get in line behind the Lord. When He raises a hand, raise a hand. When He takes a step, take a step. When He shouts for joy, shout for joy. And all the while, remember the best picture of Christ found in the Bible. He has a smile on His face. He smiled throughout His ministry. He smiled as He healed the leper. He smiled as He drove out demons. He smiled as He rebuked the sea. Then He frowned at the disciples for being faithless. But He smiled in raising the dead. And brethren, He came out of the tomb smiling. I want you to remember that. After the time He came out of the tomb, there is no record of a frown on the Savior's face, unless I'm mistaken. There is no record of anything but joy in living eternal life that He purchased for you. Redeem the time. Let's play following the leader and follow the Lord every day. May the Lord bless you all is my prayer.
Victorious God, what can we pay for faith?
We hope this edition of Triumphal Feast has been a blessing to you. For more information about this podcast or Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church, please visit our website at bhpbc.org. Until next time, may the Lord bless you all is my prayer.